Welcome to The Stable, a Stampede Blue production with your host, Joe Simeone.
Man, does it feel good to be back on the air. I know some of you guys might not know me, but some of you might be following me from my We Are Colts podcast. If you're new here, my name is Joe Simeone, and I will be your host every single week. You can catch a new episode of The Stable here at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. That's right, 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Listen, we got a lot to get to today. I'm covering the combine, which just happened in Indianapolis. We got some free agency talk, but first I want to bless you guys with a very special interview and one of my good friends, Heather Lloyd, Colts.com writer. She is a fantastic person, fantastic listen. We talked about everything, a little bit about the team this past season and what to look forward to in free agency. So let's get right into things with Heather. All right, joining me now is writer for Colts.com, Heather Lloyd. Many of her pieces can be found on the Colts Roundup. How are you today, and how has your offseason been going, Heather?
Really good. Yeah, it's funny. I'm glad we decided to do this today because I woke up this morning, I opened up Facebook, and immediately a picture popped up of Peyton Manning and Jim Irsay on Peyton's draft day. And it was kind of one of those Facebook memories things. And my comment was, good luck, Peyton. You'll always be a Colt to us. And it occurred to me that it was 7 years ago today that the Colts released Peyton Manning.
Wow. It doesn't feel that long.
I know.
At all.
Yes. So it was like, I kind of started out today with like, then I got kind of sad and kind of nostalgic. And you kind of think about it. And it's a great way also to measure the Colts and where they're at right now, because this is a team that's really back in contention again. If anything, I guess I look back on that period and I'm kind of grateful because it was such a great run. And then the feelings I had on that day, literally, I was a sobbing mess, like, you know, a lot of Colts fans out there, are what made me start a blog. And honestly, connected with Colts fans all over. Even today on Twitter, I posted that. And I mean, the stories were great. People were like, I left work and went in my car and cried. I mean, like, we were all together on that day. You know, it was tough, but we got through it together. And, you know, here we are 7 years later, this team very much back in contention. And we're ready to go into another free agency on Chris Ballard's clock here that I think is going to be really telling and really set this team up for where we're going to go next. So it's a really exciting time.
If you guys don't follow Heather, by the way, at the Blue Mare, she is fantastic on Twitter. It's one of my favorite follows. Always good for a laugh, always good for something. She's the best on Twitter. Definitely go follow her. I'm actually, funny enough, staring at a picture of Peyton Manning right now that I just got from my parents to hang in my office, and I love this thing. I've been staring at him all day. I'm really excited for this season. Like you said, we're back in it, back in contention. And I think that's something that's interesting because, to me, 2012 was a very special season. You know, getting Andrew Luck in there and the whole Chuck Strong thing and being back in contention after a bad season. And it kind of felt like that all over again this year. There were a lot of concerns. Would Andrew Luck play? All these media people saying the Colts should trade Andrew Luck. And then you have, you know, the whole coaching search debacle. So what was it like kind of being around the team this season? What was the feeling?
It's so funny you said that because there were so many times this year, and really starting at training camp, when I said this season feels so much like 2012. And that's it. If you had all these new players, I mean, it felt like we had a new quarterback, even though we had like our old quarterback coming back. But there were so many doubts about Andrew and whether he was going to be able to play, you know, whether he'd make it through a season, what he was going to look like, even getting him back on the field again. Then you had a ton of young players. And then you had, with all the new coaches coming in too, Chris Ballard only in his second year. So many things about this season felt to me like 2012. And then really, I think we ended the season feeling a lot like we did in 2012 too, which is, hey, this was great. This was, you know, better than anyone would have expected. And we feel fantastic now heading into the next season. So It really was, I thought, kind of a mirror, a little bit different circumstances, but kind of a mirror to that season, in all the new stuff and how they dealt with it.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely very magical. And there's a lot of new faces with this Colts team, a lot of new players that Chris Ballard has brought in. Even the GM himself, he's, you know, only a couple years in. Frank Reich, new face. who kind of stepped up? It was a big question of mine before the season started, was who was going to be the big leader of this team. So who stepped up, in your opinion, this year to be the leader of the Colts?
You know what's interesting? I think what's great about this team is a lot of guys did that in a lot of different areas. And I think that was really important in this locker room. I think the one guy I'm going to say really stepped up and did that, I think, was Andrew. I mean, and part of it was him coming back with his passion and wanting to just get out on that field and be so appreciative to be playing football again. And I feel like now for a while, Reggie was still there, and then Robert Mathis was still there, and there were still guys in that locker room that I don't know if he felt like it was his team for a while. And honestly, after being out that year and then coming back this season, you could really see Andrew. He had that team. It was his team. I mean, there were other guys that are super strong leaders in that locker room. You might not know this, but Jacoby Brissett is definitely one of them. Guys like Mike Mitchell came along, and Najee Good was a real leader on defense. You know, obviously Adam Vinatieri is always a leader in the locker room, but there were so many guys that I feel like really stepped up and led this year. And that, honestly, that's the reason this team was able to do what they were able to do too, is because there, it wasn't just Andrew, it was a whole bunch of guys that really, really stepped up and took the guy behind them, you know, under his wing. And you know, the stories about Mike Mitchell and the changes we saw with Quincy Wilson, just because he took him under his wing and said, hey, follow me, this is what you're going to do. And you saw the results of that on the field, and you saw almost immediately. I mean, that stuff's going to stay with Quincy Wilson for the rest of his playing career. He's going to have a guy like that to thank. Najee Good was very much like that with Darius Leonard with his first season in the league. It was really cool to see so many selfless players out there really going out of their way to bring the young guys along. I thought, honestly, a guy that people have not talked much about being a team player is T.Y. Hilton. If you watched him this year and how he went out there game after game after game, hurt, and you know, and he still got back out there on the field, T.Y. Hilton was a real leader this year, just showing how you do it, showing how you go out there and be tough even when you're hurt because your team needs it too. So honestly, I give a huge tip of my hat to T.Y. Hilton this year too, for just being that guy and just showing how you go and do it week in and week out.
And I think that is really important. It's something that Chris Ballard has talked about a lot, is just building that locker room. And it's good to hear that all of these guys are stepping up in different ways. And I think that's part of the reason they don't want to get rid of Jacoby Brissett. They like what he brings to this team. And I know, I want to see him succeed, and I think he's good enough to be starting somewhere else, but I am so happy to have him sitting behind Andrew Luck and waiting to go and just teaching this team a lot of different stuff. So all of that is awesome to hear, and you talked a little bit about T.Y. Hilton being a leader now. Something that I absolutely loved was before that Texans game, the whole clown mask thing, which kind of brings up the question of the biggest clowns in the locker room. Who's like the best presence in the locker room, or the best presence to reporters to talk to?
You know, first of all, T.Y. Hilton, when you walk in the locker room, like there's nothing like walking in there and hearing T.Y. Hilton's laugh, because it like takes over the entire locker room. It's, I mean, the clown mask guy is definitely a clown in the locker room. There's no question about it. Eric Ebron's personality is bigger than life. I mean, he is always in there yelling and, you know, dancing, and his personality, he is really like, he's friends with everyone in there, offense, defense, you know, I mean, he really, like, that guy has just a huge, huge personality, and it's really been embraced by his teammates. And truthfully, not every player with a big personality is necessarily going to be embraced in their locker room. Eric Ebron totally is. He was a great addition, you know, in many ways to the Colts, obviously, last year. And then Darius Leonard, he's another one. I mean, the rookie linebacker who, you know, defensive player of the year, and then stepped up and, you know, really should have been in the Pro Bowl. I think we all agree with that. Darius Leonard is hilarious, and he's another one. He's always dancing and joking, and you know, it was really fun to watch him. I mean, sometimes a rookie comes in And you have to kind of let them come in and get their confidence and kind of watch them bloom as the season goes on. I mean, there was none of that with Darius Leonard. He came in, he was who he was on the day he got there, and he just, you know, he was just really embraced by his teammates for who he is too. So there were a lot of guys that I think, you know, really, really had a great presence in that locker room. The one thing that we kept saying about Leonard too was, for a young guy that came in and had so much success so early, every single day he would talk in the locker room. I mean, the kind of running joke with the media is, how long is it going to take for him to be like, no, I'm not talking every day. You know, I mean, all season long, every day, any reporter walks up to him, you know, at any time, and he'd stop and talk to him. So it's kind of like, I think they kind of felt like, okay, he's a rookie, he's on his honeymoon here, eventually this is going to stop. Well, it really didn't. And we'll see. I kind of think he's probably going to be an open book and just be that kind of player for, you know, as long as he's around, really. But there was no shortage of material from Darius Leonard, and anyone who wanted to talk to him on any given day, you know, his locker, it was an open door policy. So.
Yeah. I love Darius Leonard, and you said it. I mean, he was held out of the Pro Bowl, and we can all agree he was a Pro Bowler, and that's awesome to hear. I just love those background stories that you might not get out of the media every day about these players and what's going on behind the scenes. I know Eric Ebron, when I was in training camp, I'm not sure there was a single day that I caught him not smiling. That dude loves it here in Indianapolis, and that's exactly what I think the fans wanted to see. We have a team that really likes where they are. They like to be together, and they're actually going out and recruiting a lot of big free agents. I've seen Eric Ebron do it. I've even seen a bunch of ex-Colt players recruiting players to come play in Indianapolis, and that is just, that's awesome, which brings me to my next question. Who do you want to see come back in free agency, or do you have your eyes on somebody that you might want to see the Colts go after?
Oh, man. I mean, as a fan, you kind of put, like, your wish list together during free agency. And listen, we all know how Chris Ballard does things.
Yes.
He is absolutely going to go after the under-the-radar guys. He's probably not going to pay top dollar for these guys. He might surprise us this year because the Colts have money to spend.
Sure.
The Colts are definitely a few steps ahead now in what they have versus what they need, and they're in a good position now. So maybe he's going to go out there and throw some top dollar money around. I also think, though, you have to remember this too. He did say last year that they went after some bigger names, but they just couldn't get a deal done. I think even on the part of the guys that they were looking to sign, there was still some fear about, was Andrew Luck going to play? No one knew what this team was going to look like. Frank Reich had been hired, but you had a brand new coaching staff. I think this year it's going to be really different because of what you just said. When you look at the guys that are here, that are so happy to be here and are actively going after and trying to recruit those guys. I mean, Eric Ebron tweeting Landon Collins, saying, hey, buddy, come on, let's go win some playoffs. You know, I mean, you love to see that. I mean, the endorsement is out there from this team to these free agents, and I think that's going to make the Colts, truthfully, in a much better situation when they go to start closing the deal. I mean, what matters to free agents? Money is always one, right?
Sure.
And then they want to play for a contender. Well, the Colts are a contender now. So you look at guys like Landon Collins. I mean, listen, Golden Tate. There's another one. Eric Ebron played with him for years in Detroit. Yeah. Who wouldn't love to see a Golden Tate-type receiver? There's talk of the Colts going after Tyrell Williams with the Chargers. That's another one. Nick Sirianni would know him. They were they were together in San Diego. So it's kind of like the Dontrell Inman thing. You know, there's a relationship there. You know, the Colts could definitely have the upper hand on that one. And then talk of Trey Flowers, you know, the Colts need a pass rusher. That's going to be a big money guy. So they're not going to get all those guys. You know, if they even grab one of those guys, I'll be thrilled. You know, the reality is it might be a lot of other guys that are further down the list. But the other thing we know about Chris Ballard is he is so intent on rewarding the guys that really produced for the Colts and bring them back. And really, that's what he's done so far. I mean, re-signing Adam Vinatieri, Mark Lewinsky, that was huge. Ross Travis, Marcus Hunt. So, you know, the guys that are still out there, I really want to see Mathias Farley come back. I mean, first of all, just because he's a great guy. He's a huge community guy. We love him for that. But every time he was on the field, he made plays and you felt his presence. And I think he's a guy who has put in the time and the effort. And I really think he deserves, you know, that contract. So I really want to see him come back. And then, you know, it's just, there's a lot of guys out there. You know, we do have Deion Kane. Don't forget about that. Wide receiver who was injured before the start of the season and really promising. We were really excited about him. So just to get him back on the field next, you know, this off season and kind of see him out there doing his thing again, and then really get to see him in an actual game is going to be exciting. So I feel like we'd be getting him back, and, you know, that's going to be like having a brand new player. So it's going to be fun. You know, this is kind of that time of year where it's like, you're always on Twitter and watching TV and seeing who's talking to who. And, you know, as we get closer to Wednesday, it's going to be crazy because Monday those players, you know, they can actually start the conversations, and then nothing can be decided until Wednesday. So from Monday to Wednesday, the rumor mill will be churning. Oh, it's going to be really fun to watch who's going where and who's talking to who. And it's really one of my favorite times of the whole year.
Yeah, it was always fun watching the rumor mill and see where everyone's going. I think you hit it on the head, too. You know, people want a place where they can win and they want the money. But one of the underrated things I think we're seeing in the league wide right now is kind of people are like Antonio Brown's, Le'Veon Bell's. Even when you're kind of willing to pay them, they also want to be happy where they play. And like we were talking about, that's a big drive to come to Indianapolis, is look at how happy our players are. And we're paying the ones that are actually, like, we take care of our own. That's important to these free agents, too. So I'm really excited to see how it all works out. I got one last question for you, and it might be the most important question I have. Last time we talked, you said that Adam Vinatieri was the best dressed on the team. Now, we have a lot of new faces around. Does he still hold the title?
Listen, it's hard. It's hard to beat Adam Vinatieri in that area. First of all, he's kind of got that, like, sophisticated inner himself anyway. He always dresses really classy. He's kind of like, it's hard to knock him out of that spot. The guy, I think, really like showed who he was with his fashion this year was Jacoby Brissett. If you go back and you look at the Colts travel pictures every week, every game, whether it was home or away, Jacoby, like, he would come with like the super patterned pants on, and then like tube socks and dress shoes, and always like a hat of some sort. I really feel like he went out of his way to really, you know, show himself this year in the fashion area. And the funny thing is, I ended up talking to him about it at some point in the season and did a story on it for that reason. But one of the things he told me that I thought was fantastic was that he said a lot of the Colts players and even some of the coaches before away games would text him and sometimes send him pictures and ask for his advice on what they're going to wear the next day, which I thought was so great, because you don't necessarily picture these guys as being that concerned about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But they were. He's like, even the coaches, they'd send me pictures and be like, hey, does this look okay? Well, you know, what would you wear with this? And I, like, again, it shows you how much they think of this guy, how much they value him, and the kind of relationships he has with everyone, that they'd ask for his fashion advice on, you know, on away game weeks. And it's so funny. But Jacoby, I think, again, when you're a veteran, you're making the veteran money.
Sure.
You know, it's a lot easier to go out there and look like Adam Vinatieri looks every week. I feel like Jacoby Brissett sort of did it with the young player salary, and he really showed who he is. And it was fun, it was young, it was hip, it was totally him, which I think was fantastic. And obviously there are some honorable mentions in there. Mathias Farley every week kind of does the same thing. I mean, he really, like, he's got the young, you know,
sure,
the young hip thing down better than maybe better than anyone. Kenny always looks sophisticated, just on point with, you know, whether it's a community day or whether it's you know, him and Mathias kind of compete the sneaker game. But
that.
Kenny Moore was great too. And a lot of players, really. But like I said, I think I really think the one guy that stood up to me the most was Jacoby, because every week when I go to look at the pictures, my first thought was, oh God, well, you know, what did Jacoby show up in this week? So
I'll give you one of my honorable mentions.
Looking forward
mentions.
To see what he brings this year. Hopefully he's a Colt and he's on our roster and he's still bringing it. So.
I'll give you one of my honorable mentions that I thought maybe gave Vinny a run this year, and it was actually the head coach. Frank Reich has got some drip.
No, you're right. You know what's funny about Frank, too? We watched that as the season went on. Obviously, he knows that the fashion photos are going to go up and all that.
Sure.
What Matt Bowen, the Colts photographer, did this season that he's never done before is he also shot them when they arrived at the stadium for home games. So all of a sudden, the fashion thing went from just away games to all game days. And really, that, I'm telling you, that made all of them up their game a little bit, because pretty soon now it's an every week thing. And I swear, as the season went on, you kind of watched Frank get a little more stylish every week. And my thought was that Linda, probably his wife, kind of got in there and helped him out a little bit with it. And who knows? Maybe he got some advice from Jacoby. But Frank, especially as the season went on, I totally agree. Frank was the guy that all of a sudden you were like, whoa, look at Coach. He's coming with the sunglasses on and the scarf around his neck. And it'll be fun, too, to see him kind of take that. The funny thing about the next year is that those guys now, you know, they've kind of had the off season. I always say that they're kind of like getting their wardrobe together from maybe spring until fall, because this is when they have time. The minute the season starts, they got to have everything ready to go because it's so busy. But, you know, any of those guys that are going to work with custom tailors and get some suits, you know, done and stuff like that, they're really starting to think about that now, too. So, yeah, it's a big off season for fashion, too.
That's awesome. I love to hear it. Well, this was Colts writer Heather Lloyd. Thank you so much for joining me, Heather.
Thanks for having me. And, it's going to be a fun couple weeks. So let's redo this after the new faces come in. We can kind of look at where we're at and what the season looks like. It'll be an exciting time.
This is The Stable, a Stampede Blue production.
You know, it's always good to talk with Heather. She's one of my favorite people. And I swear, man, she's got some of the best insight, some of the best stories, and she just, you could tell how much she loves the Colts players, how much she loves this team. Really, really one of my favorites right there. Definitely go follow her on Twitter if you don't already, at the Blue Mare. And definitely go read some of her pieces on Colts.com. They're fantastic. All right, man, we got a lot of combine stuff to get to. We got some free agency stuff. So let's get right into things. We're going to start with the combine because obviously that just finished up. First of all, I just want to, you know, something that happened yesterday. Oh, that was interesting. Antonio Brown to the Bills. And everyone spent about 2 hours just berating the Bills and saying, you know, what a terrible place for him to end up. And then the trade fell through. I feel kind of bad for Bills fans. And as somebody from New York, you know, it's like, it's pretty funny how that works out and how the Bills always kind of end up getting the short end of the stick. Yeah, that was. I thought that whole situation was hilarious. Antonio Brown on Instagram saying, you know, a false alarm or whatever, this is fake news. I thought that was great. I think this whole debacle with Antonio Brown is just hilarious to watch as a fan. I think it can get a little bit annoying the longer it continues. But once he gets traded on possibly today, I think it'll be cool to have that all figured out and see where he ends up. See what they end up getting for him. But let's switch gears. Let's go back into the combine. I do want to cover this because there are a lot of players that I think were very interesting and stuff that Colts fans should really be watching and looking out for. A.J. Brown is one name that jumped out at me immediately. He was a big guy, you know, before the draft, before the combine. He was the number two, really, I guess, at Ole Miss. I know DK Metcalf really was the number one guy, but he was often out with injuries and has that injury question. I'm not a big DK Metcalf fan to begin with. I think he's great, but I think he'll be gone before our pick anyways. A.J. Brown, on the other hand, I think he's going to be there. And this is a guy who ran a 4.49. He's 6'1", so he's not a small wide receiver by any measurement.
And he's got great run after catch ability, and that is something that the Colts need desperately. Now, let me preface this. I don't think that the Colts should grab him in the first round. I think most of us Colts fans can kind of agree that wide receiver, while maybe the biggest need for the Colts, might not be what we target in the first round. I think we're looking at a second round pick there. And if A.J. Brown falls to us with our first second, he's somebody that I would definitely take a hard look at, because he has all the skills necessary to come in and make an impact immediately. His route running is very clean. His footwork is amazing. He's got great body control. And time after time, when DK Metcalf went down, A.J. Brown stepped up. He was the guy. And that, you know, that is important to me, is to see if he can actually step up when the pressure is on. And he was able to do that. So I think he could be a great help to this team and take some pressure off of T.Y. Hilton. He had a fantastic combine, I thought. I thought he flew a little bit under the radar. I know it's A.J. Brown, it's a big name, but I thought he got kind of overshadowed by guys like DK Metcalf and Miles Boykin, who is another one on my list to kind of watch. 4.42 40. Now, when I watched his tape, I wasn't thrilled with this guy. Not saying he's bad by any means. I'm just saying I didn't think he jumped out to me as a second round or first round guy. After his combine, I definitely had to go back, because he blew us away at the combine. So I went back, rewatched his tape. I definitely think he's a guy to put on our radar in the third round, maybe the fourth. I don't see him as a first or second. He's still raw, and I think he needs a lot of help to get to where he is, but he's definitely somebody who's now on my board and somebody to watch for moving forward. Another wide receiver before I move on is Akeem Butler, who is 6'5", 229 pounds, and he ran a 4.48 40. He's got great tape. This is actually somebody who his tape kind of stood out to me. I thought that he had good long speed for somebody his size, and it turns out he actually does. He's got great hands, fights for the ball well, and this is a guy who wants to play, man. He wants to be there. He loves the game of football. And at 6'5", man, you give Andrew Luck that target? Come on, man. That's a red zone target all day. Andrew Luck could use that, and our offense could use that. I know. We talk about Eric Ebron being the big-bodied guy, but Hakeem Butler ran a 4.48. Do not sleep on him, man. I'm telling you, in the second round, I would not be angry at all if we were able to grab him up. Another two guys that I want to talk about is Montez Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons. And I know I'm throwing a lot of Mississippi players at you guys. For those who don't know, I actually work down in Mississippi now, and I came down here kind of at the perfect time because, well, all these players are coming out and potentially could end up with the Colts. Now, Montez Sweat might go above us now. I loved him, loved his tape. I don't think he uses his bend as well as he could, but I think with Robert Mathis being the one to teach him, I think he could really polish up those pass rushing moves. Athletic freak, 4.41. Wow. Wow. That's what that 40-yard time says to me. It was a wow. Listen, he's an athletic freak. Great, great combine from Sweat. I think he's going to go before us, unfortunately, but if he ends up at our pick, I would snatch him up in a second with round 126. Jeffrey Simmons, though, he's a guy who's really interesting to me because, see, he's got the simple assault charges, which were back in high school, by the way, and I'm not protecting him at all. I'm not defending him, but it's definitely a way different case than, say, somebody like Joe Mixon or Tyreek Hill. So I don't think it's going to move him as far back in the draft as maybe some people might think. But his ACL injury is really the main concern there. But if he falls into that second round and our first second is there, I know he wasn't at the combine, but Jeffrey Simmons, I just wanted to get his name in there because he is explosive. He's top 10 talent. If we can grab him in the second round and, you know, wait a little bit on that injury to heal, that guy's a steal. That guy is a steal. Definitely keep him on your boards. And my last guy that played really well at the combine was Amani Awuarie. Sorry, I struggle with his name. 6'1", 207. He ran a 4.47 40. And listen, this is a guy who played in some decent zone coverage at Penn State. And he looked really comfortable. He looked really good. I think he's got quick reactions. And I think he would fit the Colts very, very well. I think that him and the Colts could be a match made in heaven, especially because I don't think he's going to go in the first round. And I think right now I have Byron Murphy and Greedy Williams kind of as my top two corners. I know that Greedy didn't have a great combine. I had DeAndre Baker as my third,
but his combine kind of scared me a little, and I'll talk about that in a second. I thought that Amani did really well, and I think if we can wait until the second round with our last pick in the second round, snatch up Amani, that would be amazing. So if we can somehow land Montez Sweat in the first, A.J. Brown with the first pick of the second, and Amani in the last pick of our second. I keep, you know, it's weird having three picks in the second round. That would be a fantastic haul for this Colts team. Again, and you could swap out some of those pieces. Even if you took Jeffrey Simmons with that first pick, I think that that's a great pick. You put Akeem Butler in the second. I don't know, man. There's a lot of very interesting guys, and I love the combine for that because it kind of gives you that that hint and that want to go back and look at players' tape that maybe you weren't too sure on, or guys that you didn't think did well but then came out of the combine and you were like, they don't look that athletic on tape, and then they come out and just wow you. And it makes you kind of take a second look, because I think a lot of us need to always do that. It's just constantly refresh your memory, refresh, and compare different guys. Okay, you know, he had a much better combine than this guy, and, you know, DK Metcalf couldn't get any separation because, well, look at his three cone time and, you know, stuff like that. So I think that the combine is great for that stuff. It's not the end all be all, but it definitely is interesting. And to that point, some people who didn't have great great combines, who I definitely had higher, was DeAndre Baker was one of them. I loved him on tape. He was my third corner. I think his game is more based on scrappy play than athleticism, and I think that's why he didn't have such a great combine that people were expecting. I don't think that's really an issue for him going forward, as in like his NFL stock. I think he's still going to be a very good corner. But do the Colts really need that? I mean, we have Kenny Moore, who's kind of that same type of player. You know what I mean? Scrappy, very aggressive, kind of undersized. So do we need DeAndre? I don't know. I don't know what the answer there is, but his combine kind of made me reconsider it. Polite word on the street is that he really did not do well in the interview portion. He's temperamental, got a lot of issues there. His tape was okay. His tape was good, actually. I'll say his tape was very good. But when you have a bad combine, which doesn't really answer questions about your tape, and then on top of that, the teams are saying that you were temperamental and not good in your interviews, especially when you're going to a team like the Colts, who, you know, we're looking for locker room guys. We're looking for guys who want to be here in Indianapolis. That's important to Chris Ballard and Frank Reich. I don't think he matches with our locker room and what we want to do. Riley Ridley, another one. I had him pretty high, and 4.58 40 time was not great, man. You know, I had questions. I know, I get it. He's more of a route runner. Another one, that's what I see on tape. You know, he's very refined in his route running and stuff. But here's my problem with that is, like, there are so many really athletic wide receivers in this year's draft. Like, so many. Why are you going to take somebody who's not athletic but is a really good route runner? You know, you got somebody like A.J. Brown, who's a really good route runner and also really athletic. So I'd kind of rather have somebody like A.J. Brown than Riley Ridley. I don't know. That's my opinion on it. I think that his combine kind of made me shy away from him a little bit. It was like, okay, well, if you're not that athletic, we can find guys who are athletic and also can run routes, like Miles Boykin or A.J. Brown. Anyways, I thought that the combine was really interesting. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I love it every single year. I think that it's a lot of fun. But let's switch gears and go into free agency. As you know, me and Heather talked about it a little bit, and she named some people that maybe I wasn't thinking about originally, like Najee Good being a leader and stuff like that. But I have my own opinions on who the Colts should bring back. So let's start it out with the corner position. Desir is somebody I would love to bring back. Listen, I actually hated him in the beginning of the year. He really grew on me towards the end. And we don't really have a veteran presence in the secondary besides Mike Mitchell right now, who's also a free agent. I think bringing back Pierre Desir would be great for this team. I don't think he's going to be expensive. I think even if we draft his replacement this year or Quincy Wilson takes the next step, it can't hurt to have another guy back there, you know, to really lock down your secondary. I mean, this guy locked down DeAndre Hopkins, probably the best wide receiver in the NFL, twice. He's good, man. He's not a bad corner, and
won't be expensive, and like I said, he brings a veteran presence along with him. Now, the next one I put to bring back for the secondary is Matthias Farley and Mike Mitchell, and I kind of put them together. I think that we should bring both of them back. I think Mike Mitchell was important from a leadership perspective. Once again, he's not going to be an expensive guy, and maybe he really doesn't see the field that often, but I think that that is okay if he can play some special teams, if he can do that. You know, just keep teaching our guys like Quincy Wilson and new corners that we draft. I think that is just valuable. I think that's very valuable to our team. And Matthias Farley, this guy, he when he was on the field, man, he makes plays. He makes his impact known. You know, whether it's stripping the ball, making plays on a deep ball, whatever. He makes plays. He's a leader on the team. And a lot of people love him, man. A lot of people around Indianapolis, like the reporters and all of us, yeah, we love Matthias Farley. So listen, we also need depth, and I think we saw that this year. You know, it can't hurt to have too much depth at the safety position because guys are getting injured right and left for us right now. So I think bringing back Farley is a great idea. I don't have Clayton Gathers right now on my list to bring back, and I'm sure you know why, but I'll get to that in 1 second when we talk about free agents I would like to see us bring in. The other guys, Ryan Hewitt, I would like to bring back. Cheap blocking tight end, easy. Evan Boeheim, I would love to bring back. He, again, that's a depth position. We need some depth at the center position. We saw that with Ryan Kelly going down. Last but not least, Dontrell Inman, and I put / Tyrell Williams. And this is because I think Dontrell Inman, Tyrell Williams, very similar players. But I love Dontrell Inman, very sure hands for this team, ran some great routes, really developed a connection with Andrew Luck towards the end of the year. You could see it as we went into the playoffs. Andrew Luck really trusted him, big body wide receiver, and the Colts really need that. We need a big body wide receiver to kind of take the pressure off of T.Y. Hilton, and I think if we bring back Dontrell Inman, we can get more out of him than we did this year because he'll be more settled in. Same thing with Tyrell Williams. I think that both of them are very similar players. Both of them have the coaches' connections because they both were with the Chargers. I think that Tyrell Williams was kind of the odd man out in San Diego. Oh, I'm sorry, in Los Angeles. They always move. I think that Tyrell Williams is great. Same thing with Dontrell Inman. One of them we should bring in or bring back. Either way, literally everyone else that the Colts have as a free agent can get cut. I don't care. Najee, goodbye. I get it. He's a great leader. Whatever. Let's sign some guys. Let's get some new guys in here, new faces. Keep it going. I like the way Ballard's been doing things. I think everyone else can get cut. I don't think everyone else will get cut. But those are the guys I want to see brought back. Evan Boeheim, Ryan Hewitt, Matthias Farley, Mike Mitchell, Dontrell Inman, and Pierre Desir. All of them, bring them back. I like it. Now, who should we sign outside of our organization? This is where it gets a little interesting. I have some interesting takes on this that I know. I know there's one that's actually going to, you guys are not going to like. But number one, Landon Collins. He's number one on my list. All the premier pass rushers all got tagged pretty much. I'm all in on Landon Collins. I love him. Great strong safety. Perfect complement to Hooker. Can really lay the boom. He is basically the better version of Clayton Gathers. That's what he is. And I would pay him $10 to $12 million. If you're going to pay Clayton Gathers, I don't know, $9 million, $8 million, I'll do the extra couple. Give me Landon Collins. He's the better version. And he's not going to – $10 to $12 million is not putting the Colts in a bind. We got plenty of cap space to worry about right now. He's not putting us in a bind. Listen, he's got some injury concerns. I get that argument against him. But so does Clayton Gathers. So that's why I want to re-sign Matthias Farley, re-sign Mike Mitchell. You got three great safeties right there. Hooker on the other side. I think that the Colts secondary would look fantastic. You add in Landon Collins. Nobody's getting over the top of us. We add another element to stop the run. I think Landon Collins is perfect for the Colts. And that is, without a doubt, my number one. I think that Chris Ballard is going to surprise everybody, and I think he's going to go hard on getting Landon Collins. If we have to spend over $12 million to get him, okay. I'm fine. We can leave him alone. But 10 to 12, I'm good with that. I will pay Landon Collins $10 to $12 million. Trey Flowers, he's another guy that everyone really likes. I'm out on Trey Flowers, and I don't really like Trey Flowers. He intrigues me. I think that somebody's going to overpay him. I think the success Jabal Sheard has had with us, and also the fact that Trey Flowers came from the Patriots and some of their pass rushers have had success after leaving, I think somebody's going to overpay for Trey Flowers, and I don't think we should be the team to do that. I think we should let some of our guys develop, which I'll talk about shortly at the end of this. Two other guys, Jason Verrett and Bradley Roby. I like both of these guys. Jason Verrett, extremely talented cornerback. Injuries are the key with him. Do we want to bring in another injury-prone cornerback? I know, but he's very talented, and you can't deny that. So it would be interesting if we can get him on a cheaper deal. I'm very in on Jason Verrett. Now, here's where you guys are going to hate me. Ready? You're going to hate me for this one. Wide receivers are not a lot of great wide receivers out there right now. Tyrell Williams was my number one. Dante Moncrief. I know. I get it. Call me crazy. Ballard let him walk. Call me crazy. His value, I think, went down this year. So if you can sign Dante Moncrief to a Ryan Grant type deal, along with bringing back like somebody like Dontrell Inman, you got a cheap wide receiver who already has a connection with Andrew Luck, knows the city, knows the team, and has probably been a little bit humbled by his experience in Jacksonville, in my opinion. I think he's been humbled by that. Some people want to talk about, you know, him not having the work ethic or being lazy. I think he might be humbled. I think it's somebody just to look at. If you can get him on a cheap Ryan Grant type deal, he does a lot for this team. Andrew Luck liked him in the red zone. I think it's worth a look. That's all I'm saying. It's worth a look. I wouldn't shut your eyes on Dante Moncrief yet. Now, I know that was quick, but my Heather interview kind of took up a lot of time, and next week we're going to talk more free agency, especially with it opening up and more rumors kind of floating around on who the Colts should be looking at, really, and who they're really going to go after, because we all know Ballard likes to do it his own way. He's not going to go after the big name guys that you might think he will, but let's keep in mind some things as we head into free agency. Listen, we still got Tyquan Lewis. We got a lot of young players, I should say. We got Kamoko Touré. We got Tyquan Lewis, who was often injured, but he could take that next step if he stays on the field. Deion Kane is my big one. You want to talk about wide receivers? Deion Kane is coming back. I saw this guy firsthand at training camp. He looks like he's got something special, and I really think he can be an impact player when he comes back, as long as he gets right. And Jalen Collins, man, a lot of people were really excited when we signed him. I know he had a lot of off-the-field problems, but if he can get healthy and buy into the culture here, I think he can turn his career around here in Indianapolis. I think he could be an impactful player. There is an opening at cornerback. I know we got Kenny Moore, but there is definitely an opening outside of that. Listen, it's an exciting time to be a Colts fan. This is definitely one of the most exciting off seasons I think the Colts have had in a long time. I'm looking forward to free agency, really looking forward to the draft. I just can't really wait to see what Chris Ballard and company do. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to tune back in. I will be here every single Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and I will see you next time on The Stable.